All right, welcome back to Blair and Barker on Sportsnet 590. The Fan, a reminder, the back leg line is open, 416-413-3959. Questions, comments for Kevin Barker, name and location, please. And if you've got a question for the skipper, John Schneider, he joins us on Friday, please say, hey, I've got a question for John Schneider. What do you do about Andrés Giménez? Leaving your name and location.
What do you think he'd say? I keep running him out there.
Keep running him out.
What do you say with Hoffman? Bleep something.
We believe.
Bleep.
We trust the bleep.
There it is.
In him.
Maybe he'll say that.
He might.
I doubt it, but maybe he'd say it.
So again, 416-413-3959. A reminder, Thursday is a god-awful early, 107.
Oh, man. How hot do you think it's going to be in Cleveland?
That's going to be hot.
Holy.
107 first pitch, and we'll be on with Blue Jays Talk and Blair and Barker. I don't know if we're going to combine it or call it Blue Jays Talk with Blair and Barker.
Well, you're
Blair
the boss. You, talk or you call it how whatever you want to call it.
I mean, who knows? We'll have to wait and see with the weather. I took a sneak peek at the radar.
And, rain?
A crap ton of rain kind of swirling around the area. So
don't you tease me, Jeff.
Well, that doesn't
I'll take anything. The day off.
They won't. You won't. It's a 107 first pitch, so they'll wait until midnight if they have to get the game in. Very pleased. I don't want to waste any time. Very pleased to be joined by our next guest. He is the president and CEO of the LA Dodgers, one of our favorites, Stan Kasten, is joining us on Blair and Barker. There he is. How you doing? Look at you, man. You got nice and relaxed. And
hey, it's draft day. The draft is
that's
coming
right.
Up in 2 hours, the Scepters have the third pick. Wow. You guys must be excited about that.
Pumped. This show's not. Are
they going to trade the pick? Or can they? Who they? I mean, it's got to be a pretty exciting day in Toronto. I'm pumped. I can't wait.
Let me just see. I'll get Nick Kiprios in here, and he can handicap the PWHL draft for you. That is right. The PWHL draft is today. You're obviously involved in it. I'm going to ask you just a general question because I went back and looked at all the teams and all the sports you've been involved in. How the hell do you have time for anything else?
First of all, I don't do anything else.
Okay.
I'm the luckiest guy in the world. I've had a lot of cool challenges working with and for a lot of very cool, smart people. And every step of the way has been fun. We've also accomplished some things along the way, I'm proud to say. It's been a long time. Jeff, I've also been doing this a very long time, so I could squeeze in a lot of things in that period of time.
That's true. What was your first job in sports?
I was the executive assistant to Ted Turner in all his companies, but mostly at the Braves. And about a year later, we had some issues at the Hawks, which he had just bought. It was his first year of buying the Hawks. He asked me to step in there for a couple weeks to clean some things up legally. I wound up staying, and 2 years after that, I became GM, and off we go.
Yeah, boy, I would suggest people. I'm not gonna. I don't want to read Stan's whole resume because we've only got an hour here. But I would suggest people, and I mean that. And it's a good.
It's
one of those resumes that are good.
Yeah, it's awesome.
It's one of those resumes that are good, but I would suggest people do that. Normally when we have you on, I mean, obviously the last couple of years we've talked about Shohei Ohtani a lot, but I want to kind of combine a couple of questions together because it's something we've talked about, and I'm sure you know other people have talked about as well. How remarkable is it that the Dodgers have been able, that you guys have been able to do what you've done so far, given the pitching injuries you've had? And Stan, I've got to ask you, have you guys done a deep dive? I'm sure you have.
Yeah.
Have you done a deep dive into why so many Dodgers pitchers get hurt?
We have done a deep dive. MLB is doing a deep dive. I know the PA is doing a deep dive. We're all looking at this. We're circling around some common themes as to theories, but no one really has the solution. A few years ago, Jeff Passan wrote a great book called The Arm, and it was digging into this. And the conclusion I got from reading his book like three times now is that we have no idea. For us at the Dodgers, we do probably go overboard in taking risky guys, high upsides. So that we're going to have more of that, I think. Although, statistically, last year was more. But before that, we didn't have more than average or than other teams. I think last year and maybe this year again, we do. But that's an anomaly.
Right.
We work really hard at depth, finding specific pitchers with, we think, something we feel we can do to change, to maximize their arsenal, to fit into a role. Last year, it got us all the way to winning a World Series. So
right.
With bullpen games, right? That would have been unimaginable when any of us were growing up. But, you know, we try to adapt to the conditions which are prevailing. And right now, what is prevailing is that, you know, batters work the pitcher's count. They grind the pitchers. They don't swing at the first or second pitch. So pitchers have to be out there longer. We teach pitchers to throw 100 miles an hour as often as they can, or as close to it as they can, and that is going to wear them down. So putting all those things together across the entire universe, yeah, it's going to relate to hockey even before you talk about how early kids are being trained to do exactly that, max effort at 11, 12, 13 years old. You know that has to catch up with you. So all of those things are a factor. I don't know what to do about it. I once internally, we joked, I said, what if we, every pitch over 94 miles an hour is a ball, right? What if we just did that? Our guy said, Stan, everyone would just, you know, start throwing breaking stuff and the injuries would go up. And he's probably right. So I don't know. Are we thinking about it? Yeah, we're thinking about it every day. I was talking to someone yesterday in Atlanta, Glavin, Maddux, Smoltz, you know, three pretty good guys. But what was amazing about them is we went a decade without any of them missing a start. And now I can't go 2 weeks without someone going on the list. It's just a different time.
Because of that, when Shohei was started as pitching in games, you guys holding your breath because of that extra? I don't mean that facetiously. I mean,
maybe,
you know,
less than with other people because he can still hit.
Yeah.
With other guys, if they can't pitch anymore, then there's nothing left. But of course, we hold our breath every day, right? I mean, you saw in the NBA Finals last night, Tyrese Halliburton has this great year. And then in the last game, you know, he has an Achilles. That's just sports, man. We worry about that every day, and it could happen at any moment with no warning. That is part of what we do. In our case, we work hard to stockpile depth where we can. So far, it's worked out for us, but it's certainly not a magic formula. You know, it's just not. We need a good amount of good fortune, and recently we have had that.
Stan, have you adjusted routines with Ohtani? Like maybe when he pitches, you don't lead him off? Like I've heard rumblings about that. Or is it basically up to him? He does what he wants to do when it comes to that?
We talk to him, and we are very influenced by what he wants to do. So far, he has said to us, no, he's good. He's good. I mean, Kevin is like 2 minutes and 10 seconds from his last pitch till he's in the box.
I know.
That seems quick. That seems quick to me, right?
Yeah.
But it's like we've discussed before, it's hard for me to think of him as a human, as a regular human. So if he thinks he's good, we'll probably go with that, but maybe not. We haven't made any hard and fast decisions about that. And remember, every spot in the lineup that you go down over the course of a year costs you like 15 at bats or 20 at bats. And we like Shohei to get as many at bats as possible. So there's a price for any of those moves.
Stan, does your team feel different? Does it look different on an everyday basis? I know you're there. I know you're walking around the stadium. Does it, you know, coming off the World Series, everybody's out to get you. You're the Dodgers, right? I mean, the injuries, like, sort of the totality of just everyday life when it comes to being who you are with the Dodgers and sort of the feel of the organization and trying to win a championship back-to-back years. Does it feel different? Does it look different?
I think we came in not complacent at all. I think we had a confidence that was certainly buttressed by having won last year. But when we look at our lineup from top to bottom, we feel really good about the team. When we look at our starters on paper, which we haven't seen yet, we feel really good about the team. And of course, our bullpen has been deep for several years now. So I just think we have a confidence that what we have put together last year, the year before, and of course now, that we can compete with anybody. I never believed the silliness about we're ruining the sport because we're too good. That just, people who say that just don't understand sports. That's just how stuff works, right? We knew it's going to be a dogfight. It will be a dogfight, and whoever wins in October will have prevailed over the course of a long dogfight. We're ready for it. We have a level of confidence, but we don't at all feel overconfident, I don't think.
Speaking of dogfights, we watched with a certain amount of, I wouldn't know if I'd say glee, but hey, we watched the Padres and the Dodgers go at it, and I'm going to use that because to me that's exactly what happened. Mm-hmm. You know, I mean, and you know as well as anybody, the AL East. We talk about Yankees, Red Sox. Kevin played in the Central, and I always tell people, hey, the Reds, the Brewers, the Cubs. There's some hatred there as well. Stan, in your years in sports, where would you put the Padres-Dodgers rivalry as it is currently constituted compared to other great rivalries you've been a part of?
It's somewhat ugly. I was just this afternoon watching, and now I can talk about it since it's a baseball company. You need to check out the John Boy stuff on the recent fights. He does a great job always, but on these particular confrontations, when Tatis got hit, when Shohei got hit, it's amazing theater. We have to be super careful. We can't ever be doing it intentionally because these guys are too valuable to all of us. There's some bad blood, I guess. It's unfortunate because the fans have always had a rivalry, and you can do that without bad blood. I think God knows we've all had rivals for years without hating people. And I don't know if we hate people, but we have some personalities on both sides that can get worked up. What can I tell you? Yeah. And the fans have played into it. You know, until 2-3 years ago, every game in San Diego for us was a home game. That's not the case anymore. They've got a great team with great young stars and a great stadium. So the environment is amazing. And so now it ain't a home game anymore, man. It's a real rivalry.
Yeah, it's fun until Ohtani gets hit in the shoulder with a hundo. It's not fun anymore, I'm assuming, for you.
Yeah, that's not good. The only one it was fun for is Shohei because, as I said, he's just different, okay? He's a different cat.
He is. Last one before we let you go. I want to ask you about Dave Roberts. What do you think the hardest part of his job is on an everyday basis?
Oh, you know, it's – I can't kid you. We've got superstars on this team. Ordinarily, that would be an impossible mission. Maybe over 1 year you could do it, but year after year after year, you know, that stuff wears on you. Egos and family and pressures and all that. And so managing that is tricky. It really helps that our guys who are superstars, who are all-stars, all have amazing personalities. I mean, you know, from Shohei to Mookie to Freddie, on and on, to Will Smith, Teoscar Hernandez, who you guys know well, Max Muncy, everyone, Tommy Edman, Miguel Rojas, everyone in our lineup has a good attitude, comes to work, enjoys what they're doing, and that makes it easier, but I cannot minimize the challenge of keeping everyone on an even keel over the course of a season. That's more important than X's and O's. That's more important than when to pull a pitcher and when to bring another guy in. I think managing personalities over 8 months, which is what it is, starting from February through very, very late in October.
Yeah.
Stan, listen, we're going to let you run. I know you do have the PWHL draft. You are on the advisory board, so enjoy that today. Mm. And thanks for your time, as always, my friend.
Absolutely.
Be well.
You're awesome. Thank you.
My friend. Thanks, guys. Bye.
Take care. Stan Kasten, president and CEO of the Los Angeles Dodgers. And indeed, he is on the advisory committee for the Professional Women's Hockey League.
And hands and everything.
Their draft today.
Yeah, he's got his hands in everything, right? I mean, he's trying.
He's a,
to,
He's a smart dude. He's a brilliant.
He's a brilliant, wonderful.
I forgot about the whole, like, I knew the first time I met Stan, and I mean, Stan's been coming on our station for a long time because he and Bob McCowan had a long friendship. I still do. But he was a regular guest on Primetime. I think one of the best guests you can possibly get on a sports show because he's done so much. But I forgot that he was there with Ted Turner. I knew that his first sort of cleanup job, if you want to call it that, was the Atlanta Hawks. And he's been involved in there. He's been involved in hockey. You know, he's now president and CEO of the Dodgers. Mm-hmm. The Dodgers bought the Lakers, or their principal owner bought the Lakers. So I don't know if Stan's going to.
I'm sure.
He's a remarkable guy, though. And you know, the thing about Stan is Stan looks the same now as he did.
He does, yeah.
30 years ago.
I just like how he walks around the stadium during the games, talks to everybody. That's pretty cool. I mean, it's cool. It's the coolest thing ever when, you know, a guy that's done what he's done, where he's at when it comes to the Dodgers, just out talking to the normal folks, you know, saying hi and shaking hands. It's pretty cool. He's a pretty cool dude.
He's always done that. And, you know, and it's not, you know, some guys last a long time in the business because they keep getting advisory jobs and Stan's hands-on, man. And he is, and I think you can see why with his sense of humor. I love that. Why don't we just limit everybody? Anything over 94 miles an hour is a ball. They said, well, then everybody would throw breaking pitches. We'd have more injuries.
Yeah.
But he is right. You know, credit the Dodgers. Their pitchers do get injured, and he is right. They do gamble on, you know, on some, like, they take some risks.
They take risks
to get that stuff, high end organization.
They are all about stuff, yeah. Right? I mean, if one stuff goes down, they got a handful of here comes some more stuff. And, you know, it's about hitting homers in the playoffs. Stuff wins. So that's pretty cool.
The Jays and Guardians are a little more than an hour away from first pitch. John Schneider did his pregame media availability today, addressed some issues surrounding the lineup, addressed some injury issues as well. Let's play John Schneider's pregame avail, folks.
Off the top, Manoa live BP, 25 pitches went really well. In terms of stuff, velo up to 95, best he's felt in a while. Burr pitched in Buffalo tonight. Yimmy pitched yesterday in the Complex League. Everything was good. He's pitching again for Dunedin on Thursday. Tony's still in Florida. Nothing new with him. Varsh running the bases yesterday. Felt a little tight in his hammy, so we kind of backed it off a little bit yesterday. He still hit live and did everything else. So we're going to see how he is today and then hopefully just keep ramping him up before he gets into minor league games from a running standpoint. And I believe that is it.
Is Manoa kind of on like an every 5-day sort of
schedule now? Yeah, trying to keep him pretty regular. There'll be, I think, some kind of twists and turns, I think, as he goes in terms of staying exactly on pace, but he's feeling pretty good right now.
Was it a one-up today?
Yeah, one-up, 25 pitches today.
And so will he next time be a two-up?
Next time will probably be multiple up for him, yeah.
And with Jimmy going to Dunedin?
Dunedin, yeah.
I'm assuming you guys are going to want to get into Buffalo.
Yeah.
So, like, what's the look like?
Probably just one game in Dunedin if all goes well. And I think we're shooting for Thursday and then Friday and then Sunday, hopefully, in Buffalo.
Would that be, if that goes well, could it be back Tuesday or Wednesday?
I think, yeah, we'll see. Yeah, I think so. I mean, again, we trust him and how he's feeling. So definitely want to get him back as soon as possible.
You got a limitation on Lauer today? Is he just kind of full go?
Yeah, kind of full go. I think both performance and build-up wise, he's kind of earned that, and it'll be kind of a normal start for him.
So him, Scherzer, you have five starters right now.
We have five starters. That we do. It's nice kind of planning it out that way, and you know, we have a couple guys we can use for some length and multiple innings in the pen. But yeah, five starters is pretty nice.
How helpful can that be for certain guys in your pen who have had really high workloads?
Yeah, I mean, hopefully we can kind of maneuver it a little bit. And, you know, I think the guys that it affects the most, you know, it's not the Schultz of the world where he can kind of go 50 pitches. every couple of days, but asking guys to, you know, kind of go up and down or four outs. Hopefully you can kind of limit those outings.
Out day yesterday, no news with Max.
Yeah, he's pitching tomorrow, yeah. All systems go. Yeah, I think just based on, you know, how he felt after his outing, his last outing in AAA, and then it really just came down to which day he was going to throw his side, whether it was Saturday or Sunday. So if it was Saturday, we were looking at today or Thursday probably with an extra day or two rest. And then since he threw on Sunday, he still gets an extra day. So we were kind of just, you know, listening to him and how he felt.
So you had wanted to separate the Lauer spot from the Bowden spot, but don't concern about Lauer and Max
being? I don't think so. Something we talked about probably a week and a half ago, if we could separate that, yeah. And I think just, you know, listening to Max, you know, I think he'll be good for a normal start, you know. So that coupled with how Eric's been pitching, you feel fine about them being back-to-back. And it gets Kev an extra couple days, which is good too.
Most teams have one guy come back, go to place, and there's one guy coming back. You have four guys coming back here. What's it like to be able to be a part of that?
It's pretty cool. You know, it seems like, you know, we did a lot of trading and with Cleveland in the offseason. I think it's pretty cool. You know, it's Miles, Hemi, Sandlin, Ernie, if you count him, DeMarlo, if you count him. I think it's cool. You know, they're familiar with this group, and they have some good insight for us as you're getting prepared for this team. But it's it'll be cool to see them get recognized. They've all done some pretty cool things for this team.
That is manager John Schneider just ahead of this evening's game. So a couple of I don't know about significant. Alec Manoah getting to the point where they're going to do a couple of up-downs with him. 95 sounds like the velo.
Oh,
so
that's awesome.
Fingers crossed. Boy, yeah. If that dude is back and can be three-quarters of the guy he was when he was healthy.
He'll help. Not going to hurt.
He'll help immensely. Mm-hmm. Jimmy Garcia. So according to what John said, he could very well see him back in Toronto for the Yankees series.
First next week,
right?
Yeah.
Pitching in Dunedin. I think John said Thursday and Sunday in Buffalo. I could be wrong.
I think he said Thursday in Dunedin, Sunday in Buffalo.
Anyhow, we're
he's
we're
pitching
talking,
two more times.
Yeah.
Basically.
And then and then he could be back in time for the Yankee series, which would certainly be.
Oh, boy. That's huge.
Well,
you can use your REL however you want to use him. You sort of lay off a little.
Forgot to mention, by the way, at the start of the show, just housekeeping. Eric Swanson has been released by the organization, I believe. That was reported. I think it might have been MLB Trade Rumors reported it yesterday.
So, yeah.
He's
a good dude. Wish him the best.
He'll be back. Eric Swanson. Somebody will take a
split. Ain't splitting.
Somebody
gotta
will
figure
take
that
a shot
out.
At. Yeah. Somebody will definitely take a run with him, I would think, at some point. I mean, the hell that I see today just signed with somebody after being out of the game for like 2 years or something like that. I remember who it was. But anyhow, so there you go. That's John Schneider, the manager of the Blue Jays. 416-413-3959, the back leg line. We're going to take a break. We're going to go to the back leg line. I also have Jays and Yankees tickets for July 1st. Don't want to miss that. We got those tickets to give away and the back leg line as well. It's Blair and Barker on Sportsnet 590 The Fan and Sportsnet.
Get smarter when you listen to Hockey Talk, the Hockey PDOcast with Dmitry Filipovich. Subscribe and download the show on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
We're going to mention this anyhow before we give away Blue Jay tickets. Whit Merrifield announced his retirement.
Congratulations. I wish I could have done that.
Announced your retirement?
Nobody cared.
Well,
I don't even. I think you got to have a certain amount of time in the show before you can do that.
I don't think so.
I do.
Oh. Anyhow, good career.
Service time. Yeah, he's solid.
Solid player. Played
absolutely.
Here.
Did he?
Yeah, we interviewed him a couple of times.
We did.
Anyhow, I've got Jays tickets to give away to see the Jays and Yankees. Because, as you well know, Kevin, I want you to read this, by the way.
No, I'm good.
You did such a good job reading the reading the script for one of our sponsors.
I know you're trying to be funny.
No, it's good.
Stay in my lanes. It's where I'm at. Okay.
We've been giving you the chance to win Blue Jays tickets all season long here in Blair and Barker.
You're real funny,
bud. Just say shawarma for me.
Well, I could hit a double in the gap. Could you?
No.
Maybe. 1-0, Kevin.
Maybe. We've been giving you the chance to win Blue Jays Blue Jays tickets all season long. Shawarma. Just say shawarma.
You are a loser.
We've been giving you the chance to win Blue Jays tickets all season long here in Blair and Barker. All you have to do is text the correct answer to our daily baseball trivia question to 590-590. Especially when you didn't know what it was. Standard message and data rates may apply.
Well, you're sitting right beside me. Like a vulture.
Our last question and answer was, he played exclusively for American League teams over 13 seasons, including the Blue Jays and Yankees.
Yeah.
He was a three-time All-Star who led the AL in home runs in back-to-back seasons, just not with New York or Toronto. His son also played in the majors. He was a six-time All-Star who also led his league in home runs one season. The answer was Cecil Fielder.
Yeah, boy. Man.
Today's question, big man. Today's question.
The fall. His son did the fall at home plate, remember? Stepped on home plate, everybody fell over, and then they got in a fight, I think, the next day ever.
Today's question is to win tickets to see the Jays and Yankees at the Rogers Center on July 1st. He's a five-time All-Star who played his last MLB game in 2019. The Blue Jays and Yankees are the only American League teams he played for in his career. He never won a championship but reached the World Series once. Unfortunately for him, his team got swept. Again, he's a five-time All-Star. Why are you laughing?
Stupid read I had to do.
He's a five-time... Just say shawarma for us.
Shut up. Read.
He's a five-time All-Star. Say fiery. He's a five-time All-Star who played his last MLB game in 2019. The Blue Jays and Yankees are the only American League teams he played for in his career. He never won a championship but reached the World Series once. Unfortunately for him, his team got swept.
Mm.
You can text the answer to 590-590 for your shot to win. See rules at sportsnet.ca/590. All right. As we mentioned, the back leg line, she is open. And hot off the press.
Mm.
The last time I had anything this hot, it was a nice... toasted shawarma.
Jeez.
The back leg line. Come on, I'm having fun with it. 416-413-3395 line is the back leg line. You had some questions for us. John in Hamilton had a question.
The question I have is, why haven't the Jays signed Bo Bichette yet? I don't know what the holdup is, but his average, his hitting, his power... I don't understand what they could possibly want from that position more than what he can give. So just curious why they haven't shown him the money yet. Thanks.
Trophies. They want to win. I said this, and this is just me. I'll say this. Yeah. This is why I think they should wait. If they win a playoff series, you make a run at it. If they don't, split them up. It's about winning.
Yeah, I think the...
And he's going to cost a lot of money.
Yeah, I also
maybe too much.
I also have got to say this. If I'm Bo Bichette, I'm playing the market this year because there's not a lot of impactful hitters out there.
Nope.
And if I'm Bo Bichette, and I suspect that maybe I have to make a change in position at some point, you know what? Maybe I'd rather do it with the Dodgers and allow Mookie to move. Yeah, or maybe I'd rather do it with the Dodgers than somebody else. I mean, he is they've been linked to him.
Have they?
Trading
$200 million is different.
Yeah, but I would think that's. At this point, if you're Bo Bichette, really, why would you sign? I don't know. And for some reason, the Jays reached that agreement with Bo, multi-year agreement, in arbitration, and you never really got the sense. Well, I think Bo said in spring training this year they hadn't even talked this year about an extension.
Yeah.
So, I don't know with Bo, man. I just don't know. I don't know if the organization. I don't even want to say it. I mean, I just don't know.
Yeah, I don't either.
That's the way to put it.
I'm in your camp. I'm just in the camp because of what the owner said. I think your best players need to win.
I'll
if they're
tell
not
you
winning,
what, though,
split them up.
I'm about to kind of fall off the, well, if you don't sign Bo, Andrés Giménez can play shortstop for you next year. I got like 1 foot and four toes off that bandwagon. I'm telling you that right
now. I don't know how he can play every day.
Yeah, yeah. I'm beginning to can't believe
Ernie's
I'm almost
cheaper.
Agreeing with you. Ben and Courtney, British Columbia.
I'm just wondering about Anthony Santander. I've been watching most of the games since the start of the season, and he's been obviously not good, and right now he's injured. I was wondering, is it, do you think, because of the injury that it wasn't working out, or do you think that there's a lot of other things going on too? Because I think that he's one of the most important parts of our season if he can get going. Obviously pitching too, but I think if he gets going, that will put us over the edge. Thanks a lot, and I love watching your show.
Thanks, Ben. I appreciate it.
Yeah. Love He's talking to me.
Love Courtney.
He ain't talking to you,
by the way.
He's talking to me. You got to figure right now. Tell me if I'm wrong, Jeff.
You're wrong. One, two, three, four, five.
He'd be hitting in the six hole.
Yep.
If he was coming today.
Yep.
And they were putting him in a lineup.
I would.
He ain't better than Bo. He ain't better than Ernie. He ain't better than Vlad. He ain't better than Kirky. Right now, he ain't better than Springer. No, if Var shows back, he might be hitting seventh.
Yeah. You know, I just don't – I get the sense that John Schneider has no clue as to when Anthony Santander is going to be ready to go.
Well, they may have it, and they just don't want to say anything.
No, it's been kind of hinted to me that they don't. They just – they don't know. I am always suspicious when a guy goes on the IL and I hear about multiple injuries, which makes me wonder, was there a pre-existing condition? You know, did he hurt himself in spring training? And you know, did he make an adjustment because of that? But shoulder and hip, for a hitter,
yeah,
shoulders and hips are –
yeah. Do you remember when he went on the IL? It was either a day before or a day after Varsho did, right? Somewhere right there. They almost went together.
When did he run into the – hit the stands?
I want to say that's – oh, boy.
I don't know. Kevin, I'd be lying. But it was around the same time.
It's been a long time.
Yeah.
And for him not to be swinging yet, something's odd. Like, he ain't started hitting yet. Like, I mean, that's his deal. So I'm just not even sure how you'd even start talking about him. And to Ben's point, I think it started out where he just couldn't figure out mechanically how to get on top of the elevated fastball. That was it. And then he started trying too hard because he signed that big deal. I know you roll your eyes. You don't do that. They don't do that. Well, he was. And sure then on top of it, you get hurt in multiple places. So not only are you trying to, you know, help sort of put back together what's between your ears, you're also trying to figure out how to fix your shoulder and your hip. Good luck.
Steven in Brampton, Ontario.
Question was, like, Max Scherzer coming back, right? Pitching tomorrow, I think it is. I mean, is this guy, is he going to be really ready for it? Is he going to be, like, you know, game ready, you know? Anyways, that's my question. And anyways, like I said, have a great day, and I love your show.
Bye. Thanks, Steven. Can you call us tomorrow? Tomorrow night on Blue Jays Talk? Because I'm being serious. I don't know.
I don't think he knows.
No.
You know, I think he's sort of throwing it out there. You know, we joked about it and said lie to us, and I wasn't really joking. But, you know, we'd like to every once in a while just hear, I'm going to go out there and get the ball whenever I get it, and I'm going to do the best I can. You'd like to hear that.
I mean, he certainly didn't overpromise.
I don't think he knows. I'm for sure thinking that the manager and the pitching coach don't know, and whoever's taking care of him on an everyday basis, I bet they don't know either. So I think you take what you can get. When you get it, how it looks, hold your breath between innings, all of the things that will go into a Scherzer start, light some candles.
Oh, yeah, we got to bring – maybe I'll bring a candle
some candles
in the air tomorrow.
Well,
we
skinny
can't light
ones,
it in here because
short
we set
ones,
off the
what
fire
do you got?
Alarm. I think we could pull it off. I'm not lighting anything in here.
You ain't lighting nothing?
Not a chance in hell am I lighting anything in this room with all this equipment around here. Never mind the high-priced talent. you know, I'm not going to –
That's true.
I'm not going to be lighting candles. I might light candle out in the road.
Set yourself on fire. Would I help you? if he did it?
Right.
Not sure. Put you out? He gets.
That's a good question for the back leg line. If I was on fire, would Barker come and save me? 416-413-3959.
Especially the way you've been talking about me for the last, I don't know, what was about 18 hours.
Larry in Woodstock. Jeez. By the time I got to Woodstock.
What do you think about Josh Naylor as a potential designated hitter if things don't work out with some of the other guys? Anyway, just like to hear your comments. Thanks. Bye now.
Larry, I got to tell you something.
Hmm.
What if Anthony Santander doesn't come back before the trade deadline? Would you consider going out, getting a lefty slugger?
Okay.
DH? That's what I'm working at. Would you consider doing that? He's a free agent next year.
I want you and Larry to answer this question at the same time. Can they make the playoffs without Tony or without an extra rotation piece?
Oh.
Larry, answer along.
Well,
can they, Jeff?
They've got to get another pitcher.
Think so, too. Sooner or later, Vladdy's going to get hot. Sooner or later, he's going to get hot, and that will sort of take care of what's going on. You would think Kirky's figured out things.
Springer would be the DA. Listen, here's the thing. I would make room for Josh Naylor if I could do other stuff as well, but I would have to be...
Pick one or the other.
Oh, I got to have a pitcher.
I'm not sure they got enough to get both.
He's a free agent. It's not going to cost you, you're not going to be likely trading three top prospects.
Might be dealing with the same team for a couple of pieces.
Well,
I don't know how,
tell you what,
much trouble that would be, or maybe be
I mean,
easier.
You could do,
maybe
if you were going to do one-stop shopping, Merrill Kelly and Josh Naylor, I'd be happy with that. I'd make it work. But again, if Anthony, you've committed all that money to Anthony Santander. If he's healthy, you gotta let him, go. But it's June, June 23rd, man. He's not even swinging the bat.
Yeah. Okay. Well, what if he does come back, and then you have Naylor, Vladdy, and Tony?
That's my point.
Where are they all playing? Obviously Vladdy's playing somewhere, but where are the other two playing?
You would have to know. You would have to figure it out.
And you'd have to be real good at selling it.
You would have to know.
Naylor's a big personality.
Well, I don't think that's a...
Oh, I do.
I don't think that... Again,
I like playing.
You'd have to wait and see. If Santander ends up going on the IL for whatever, and I'm just saying, I don't have any idea if he is, but if you have to put him on the 60-day... who the hell knows what's going on there? If you have to do that, then yeah, I think you go out and add another bat.
If your answer is they can pitch their way to the playoffs, then you go get pitching.
Well, if Josh Naylor prevents me from getting a pitcher, I'm not
sure they can hit their way to the playoffs.
Trevor in Toronto.
Based on what happened with the White Sox and the Phillies last weekend, do you believe that based on the Blue Jays roster right now, they are pretenders or contenders? That's my question. Have a great day.
Thanks, Trevor. I think
it's fair. I think it's a fair question.
I think they're contenders because...
You do?
I think everybody in the American League, with the exception of maybe two teams, are contenders. I really do. Would you be surprised if the Jays make the playoffs?
No.
Would you be surprised if they don't make the playoffs? Would you be surprised if Tampa Bay makes the playoffs?
Absolutely not.
Would you be surprised if they don't make the playoffs? Like, what I'm saying is there are a bunch of teams that you can play that game. Would you be surprised if they make playoffs? Would you be surprised if Cleveland makes the playoffs? Nope. Would you be surprised if they don't? Nope.
The Twins.
The only two teams right now that I'd be shocked if they don't make the playoffs are Detroit and the Yankees. And I'm not even, three teams. Pardon me. Houston's... smoke and mirrors, man. But Houston's getting it done. But I would still put the Tigers and Yankees above them. And quite frankly, I know you're going to roll your eyes. The Yankees don't scare me. I'm more afraid of the Tampa Bay Rays in this division than I am the Yankees. The Yankees,
Yankees are going to have to do something.
So which teams you're talking about that are afraid of the Rays, right? I mean, I'm sure the Yankees are not afraid of the Rays, or the Jays are. Like the Jays.
I think the Yankees are afraid. Well, the Yankees have got a lot of issues.
Who would you rather be, the Yankees or the Jays?
I mean, I'd rather be the Yankees, but.
Well, I mean.
You know why I'd rather be the Yankees? Because they have Aaron Judge. That's the only reason I'd rather be the Yankees.
That's it, huh?
Look around that lineup.
Max Fried's pretty good too.
Max Fried is good.
You got a
true
number one. But I don't care. Yeah, I mean, all we talk about with the Jays is who's getting game one of the
Anthony Volpe better than Bo Bichette?
Nope.
You like their first baseman better than Vladdy? Even Scuffling Vladdy? Would you take Goldschmidt over Vladdy?
I'm just saying that the
Yankees aren't scary. If they were nine games up, but they're not scary. They've got a lot of issues. They boot the ball around.
So you're going to be shocked if the Yankees go to the World Series again?
No, that's my whole point. No, the American League I wouldn't be shocked if they go to the World Series. I wouldn't be shocked if Detroit goes. Wouldn't be shocked if Tampa goes.
Wow, you wouldn't be shocked if Tampa went to the World Series.
No, went to the World Series?
Yeah,
no.
Yeah, I would.
Well, whatever. I mean, I don't know why you would.
Tampa?
Why would you?
Yeah, I don't know.
Who's better than Tampa? Who would you take right now in a series? Who's better than Tampa? Who would out-pitch Tampa?
Who would out-pitch Tampa?
Who would out-pitch Tampa? Who's better than Tampa right now? You'd go, man, series, I'm taking that team. The only team that I would look at and say would give Tampa a hard time.
Detroit.
Is Detroit. The Yankees, again, they look very much like a team that can't get out of their own way.
If you believe in the way they hit, maybe. Maybe you're right.
I think there's, like I said.
I'm sticking with the Jays thing. I said this at the beginning of the season. I said meaningful games in September. I'm sticking with it. I think that's what they are. I think some dudes have to do what their dudes are supposed to be doing. If they're not, that's what they are.
If they weren't currently in a wild card spot, then I wouldn't think they're contenders. But with everything that's gone wrong for this team, or I should say everything that hasn't gone well for this team.
So you're saying they got another gear. That's what you're saying.
Yeah, but right now I'm saying don't know about the closer. Starting rotation looks like it might be in fumes. Vladdy's hasn't gone on a heater yet. Anthony Santander is hurt. You don't know when you're going to get him back, and you're in a wild card spot. That, to me, suggests you're contenders, not pretenders.
Hmm.
Well, I look at it.
Well,
but now we can get into levels of contenders. But I think Trevor's – I understand the skepticism, but – I wouldn't go reading too much necessarily into that series against the White Sox. I think they had.
Yeah, I think Trevor's talking more about the Phillies one than the White Sox one. You know, occasionally you just show up and things ain't working.
Didn't they sweep the Phillies?
The Phillies, yeah, but they didn't face the three dudes that they faced, especially with Weaver. Like that's the difference, right?
Didn't they sweep the Phillies?
It's how the bats look. Not with Weaver.
They beat Jonathan Sanchez here.
With Weaver.
Wheeler.
Weaver.
Wheeler.
What'd I say?
Weaver. Wheeler. And he's the only guy.
You can't even speak English.
You said Weaver.
What'd I say?
It's Weaver. You said Weaver.
Whatever I said. You knew what I was talking about. You got me all. You got me all off the tracks.
I'm going to go for a shawarma.
You got me all off the tracks.
You going to come for a shawarma with me? Just say the word once.
Hey, look. Soon as you tell me how to hit a fastball in the gap, then I'll say it.
Say what?
I just said it.
Say what?
You have to tell me how to do it. Okay. Everybody's got their lanes, big fella. Hmm.
All right, so tonight, Eric Lauer.
Mm-hmm. I don't know, Jeff. You tell me.
I'm going to send you a. Mm-hmm. I'm going to send you a text in the third inning.
I won't answer.
And I'm going to say. And I'm going to say how you feel. I'm going to say how you feeling about this.
I'll give you the number one sign.
Yeah. Actually, you will. That's a very
You're
good
getting
point.
It tonight.
I will
tomorrow,
get the number one sign.
And the next day.
I was going to. I was going to ask. I was going to ask what
fastball
you.
Fastball command.
Okay.
Pitch ahead and. Throwing the edges. How's that? I mean, that's I think what every good pitcher does. And right now he's a good pitcher.
It's interesting. John basically said he's maybe it's not interesting. John said he's a starter right now. He'll go as long as he can.
Yeah. I mean, it's the biggest series of the season. I think it is.
Well, tomorrow's start is one of the most significant starts in the season.
You can't say that. You can't say that. You basically said the next six games mean nothing.
No.
That's what you said.
No.
They might as well not even play them.
No.
They could lose all six, and Jeff Blair could care less.
I could care less.
Yeah.
I could take two or three from the Yankees, and that's all that matters.
No,
Well, they play them four times, so you'd be short a game. So if you're gonna say it right.
Whatever. But the Scherzer start is significant because it's actually, you know what's more significant than the Scherzer start?
What's that?
Is what he says after the start and then what he says Thursday morning when people go in the clubhouse and go up to him.
I think he's already said what he's going to say. He's going to continue to say it until something happens.
Until he wins until he makes five starts in a row.
I think he'll still be saying it. I'm working through it. We're all figuring it out together.
Thumbs up.
Well, one thumb and a half.
Yes, indeed.
Yeah, I mean, the guy tonight, the lefty they're facing, is not going to be the easiest of gets. I mean, I know they hit lefties pretty well. That's why they're putting Ernie in the two-hole. But, the changeup, we had Chris on, and he was saying about the changeup. That's a big pitch, right? That establishing the end and makes it a little easier for him to miss arm speed on that changeup. He's got a little different delivery, which is hard to pick up. Bo, I think his first at bat will sort of set the tone, make it a little easier for everybody to follow. He's been raking lately. Hopefully they get off to a decent start.
In Bo, since let me rephrase that. What is the biggest difference when you see good Bo at the plate and bad Bo at the plate?
Well, we haven't seen bad Bo. I mean, the bad-ish Bo is the chasing.
Okay, great Bo and regular Bo.
I mean, he's real good at sitting on certain speeds, which I think is pretty cool. That's different than normal. Like I think the last game, the RBIs that he had up the middle, he's sitting breaking ball. That's what run producers do. They set pitches until you force them to sit something else. I never could do that. I wasn't good enough. I had to sit heater middle all the time. He's not like that. He can get barrel to a bunch of different spots in the strike zone. And when you can do that and you can cover speeds because of the way you get into your load, as soon as you can get into it, just sort of sets the slot of all that stuff that it takes to get the foot down and stay inside the baseball, think big part of the field. If he does that because he's sitting certain speeds, he'll have success. I think the mind's finally caught up to the mechanics. And when those two things mesh together, it looks like it's looking.
Again, if you joined us late, the Jays lineup for the game is Bichette leading off, Clement hitting second. Guerrero is third. He's at first base. Alejandro Kirk behind the plate. George Springer's the DH. Davis Schneider in left field.
Had a good game his last start.
Yes, he did. Jonathan Clase in right. Miles Straw in center. And Andrés Giménez. Second base.
Yeah, this dude's going to throw you in. They got to get him out of there somehow. Can't chase the changeup. Obviously, the changeup's good. That's why he's throwing it a lot more than the last time he faced the Jays. It's in. Can they get it down, look in there, and start thumping things to force him to do something else? They can do that. They're going to have a good night. If they don't, could be a tough one. Turn it over that pin. Kate Smith could give you nightmares.
Yeah, that is a reminder, by the way. We are scheduled to be joined by Cade Smith tomorrow.
Nightmares.
Which will be fun. He's really good. Undrafted.
I want to see him throw them haters at Vladdy. That's all I want to see. Because he's gonna. Here it is, big fella. I like that. Me against you, I think I got a good one. I bet you can't hit it. I like that. It's big leagues. Big leagues is cool. And when you're good, you think you're good. It's like the Hoffman thing. Hoffman throws those three pitches because he thinks all three of them are good. Hopefully it turns out to be that way. You got to have your swag in that ninth inning.
No,
like
you do.
Like them dudes for Cleveland, they breathe a different air and they walk a different way than everybody else does. Has Hoffman been doing that? Got to get that back somehow. Whatever you start eating. Jimmy John's. I say Jimmy John's. Jeff, that's what I used to eat. They got more expensive Jimmy John's in the big leagues, so you can go somewhere else. Maybe Ruth Chris or something. I don't know.
Do they have shawarma Jimmy John's?
You're such a loser. You know that? You are something else. I'll bet you they play mine more than they play yours. What you want to bet?
Well, probably I would. I would. Yours sounds like a wrestling promo. I would. That's it for us. It's really it for us. Trust me, it's it for us.
Yeah.
We'll be doing Blue Jays Talk tonight following the game. We'll be back here tomorrow.
from 4 to 6 Eastern on Sportsnet 590 The Fan and Sportsnet. Enjoy the game.